All right, we're going to go to this study here, study in line with what we've been doing each, what, Thursday or Friday. Romans, epistle to all that be in Rome, and we're up to, we've been studying Romans 10. We've got this lesson and probably one more, and that'll finish chapter 10, and we'll get into chapter 11 of Romans. A lot of good stuff there. Pardon me for calling it stuff, scripture. As a review, just a couple sentences here to recap what we ended with yesterday. The gospel of God, remember that's those facts about who Jesus is, his identification. It doesn't promise salvation. It's about the sonship of Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God, that he's the Messiah, and that he rose from the dead. Those three facts. Romans 1, 1 through 4. But the gospel of God alone saves nobody. Israel would have been receiving their king and their kingdom if they had additionally believed the gospel of God. They did all the other things. The gospel of God needed to be added to the list of all the other things they did. The circumcision, the keeping the commandments, the believing the covenants, and all the other things, the Sabbath. So they didn't add it, though. Israel was called on to believe and do as the gospel of the circumcision. But we have seen over and over that they failed in doing that. And they went wholeheartedly against the Lord, believing that he was a fraud, a fake. So now Paul, of course, he preached faith, but Paul did not preach faith as part of a faith plus works gospel. That's what Israel had always been given. Faith plus works. Faith plus works generated by that faith. Faith requires an object. And that's what Brian Sipes was getting into late in that message. All faith requires something to have faith in something in which to have faith. But Israel had been given covenants of promise. And a way to be saved, not to heaven, but saved to the land. That was what they were promised, the land. On earth, in God's kingdom out of heaven. And you can see that in Genesis 12:1 mentioned briefly. But then in verse 7, he says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him." Belief was needed in Israel's part of the covenants of promise, and works were needed in Israel's part of the covenants of promise. If you look in Hebrews 11:4 says that it was by faith, that Abel offered an acceptable righteous sacrifice. Offering a sacrifice was a work. He did the work by faith, it says. Verse 7, Hebrews 11:7 says, "It was by faith that Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house." Preparing an ark was work. Lots of 100 years of work. Hebrews 11:8, it says, "It was by faith that Abraham obeyed and left Ur of the Chaldees, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance." It's a work to obey and go out into a place when called out. Left his home. That was a major thing. It was by faith he did it, but he did something. He did a work. That's the hallmark of, that's one of the characteristics of Israel's religion, Israel's special calling, special scripture. God did the calling. Up to the time of Abraham, the Bible hasn't mentioned faith or trust, belief, up until that time. But that would be the first 11 chapters. But it was what God wanted. God wanted them to trust him, man to trust him. It would be as if, for some reason, just as a analogy or a example, a poor one, but there's always flaws in analogies. But if I wanted you to touch some bowling pins, let's say there were 10 bowling pins. So what I want you to do is to touch each one of them, but I don't tell you that. I tell you that I'll give you $100 to do the work of placing these bowling pins in a straight line. Now, I haven't told you to touch them, have I? What I wanted you to do was to touch the bowling pins, but I never told you to touch them. But you did what I wanted and what you wanted. You touched them. In placing them in a straight line, you touched each bowling pin, and you received the reward, the $100. Well, it's similar what God wanted mankind to do, to trust God. But God, in his wisdom, he didn't order us to believe him. He didn't command us, force us, I guess. He didn't force us. He gives us the choice. And he looks down through history from before creation, and he foreknows what our choice is going to be. But God, in his wisdom, gave mankind certain assignments to fulfill. And in so doing, mankind would exercise faith in God in order to obey him. But with mankind's love of taking shortcuts, I must be hungry, love of taking shortcuts, finding an easier way maybe, you know, having our own way, eventually people began to do the assignments, the law, without believing or caring about God or what God had said. So God sent Paul not only with his new gospel for mankind, but also with information as to how Israel had failed their God. So God's plan didn't fail. Israel failed in keeping the law, as anybody would have. But it proved God's point that all are sinners, and he is a merciful God. He would have mercy on all, offering the gospel through Paul, a different gospel, a different pattern. That's where the room gets its name. So God sent Paul with his new gospel. And for clarity in this subject, as we read these next verses, give me a second here. I'm going to pull it up and read. In my notes, I just put the brief. edited version, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm skipping anything, not believing the Bible or not going by the Bible. I want to read it as it is, but that's when I get down to verse 5 and 6. Let's start with verse, how come this isn't, why isn't this coming up? Here we go. Verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now remember, Paul's writing Romans in Acts 20, long after Israel fell in Acts 7. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That would have been the thing to do, right? Submit ourselves unto the righteousness of God. Submit themselves. That's talking about Israel at that point. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, if you want life, do the law. If you can't do the law, you can't have the life. The man which doeth those things shall live by them. Verse 6, and I'm going to read verse 6, 7, and 8 as they are in the scripture, and then I'm going to try to point out something by leaving out the negative part and just reading the positive part. So here it is all together. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So, going back, I want to read verse 6a and 8a. Okay, if we can divide it up that way, I'm going to read the first part of 6 and then go on down to the first part of 8. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. And that narrows it down, what he's talking about, to have faith in, when he says Paul preaches it too. But faith is the very thing that was lacking to those in Israel, in the covenants. They're already claiming to expect a future kingdom from heaven, but some of the requirements were missing. We already listed some of them, keeping the law, the covenants, those two C words, three I guess, circumcision, covenants, and commandments, and 603 commandments and other things they had to do. They left some things unfulfilled. And so Paul states them, and some of them appear to be the same or similar. They seem to be the same or similar as what the requirements are in the gospel that Paul preaches for us, the gospel of salvation. But they're not the same. They're, for instance, Israel worshipped the one that God sent. They, in their minds, until Christ came and they rejected him, they wanted the Messiah. They worshipped him. They were looking for him, like Anna in the temple at the birth of Christ, Simeon. Getting too old. That slipped my mind. Anyway, let's go on with where we were. So he's not talking about Christ dying for their sins for salvation. He's not talking about being justified by the resurrection of Christ for salvation. Israel's failure was lack of faith. Today we need faith in the gospel of salvation that Christ from heaven, after his ascension back to heaven, he gave it to Paul for us. And it's all documented in Scripture. But before Israel fell, they needed faith in the covenants, the law, the prophets, and the gospel of the kingdom. And they needed to have works that their faith produced. Paul was not teaching that Israel failed to have faith in the gospel of our salvation, that Christ died for our sins and rose for our justification. Paul was not teaching Israel to believe the gospel of the kingdom. Paul never preached the gospel of the kingdom to anyone. Paul was identifying for those in Rome just wherefore it was that Israel had not attained to the law of righteousness. They didn't have the righteousness God required. With all their efforts, their work, without the faith, Paul was preparing them to see how all men have now become acceptable by his gospel, by the gospel the Lord revealed to Paul, regardless of Israel or blessing Israel, without having anything to do with Israel, a separate gospel, a separate entity, the body of Christ. Paul later teaches in Romans 11, verse 11, that it's through Israel's fall that salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Look at the verse, Romans 11, 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. And notice he says, is come. So he, writing that Romans epistle in Acts 20, at the time of Acts 20, salvation had already come to the Gentiles. Paul's gospel had been preached to them. And he says what Gentiles it was to, and it doesn't say all the Gentiles, it says the ones, let me read it. God forbid, but rather through their fall is salvation come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. They had a specific job prophesied in Deuteronomy 31:16, I think it is. So Paul is making it very clear that Israel did fall, and specifying what caused their fall, so that, for the purpose that people that hear the gospel that Paul preaches don't have a conflict, a clash in their minds. Which gospel am I supposed to believe? He's showing them that Israel's gospel is not what God is saving people by anymore. It's by the gospel that Christ revealed in, from heaven to Paul for us. So Israel failed to believe. And they tried to keep the law, and they believed that God would bring his kingdom, but they failed to believe God himself, standing right there in front of them, Jesus Christ. And they failed to believe God's proof of Jesus Christ's sonship and atoning sacrifice, which was his resurrection, the sign of all signs. They failed to believe all of that. Paul is not preaching that they should finally believe the gospel of the kingdom. No, it's too late. That offer ended earlier in Acts. Paul never preached to anyone that they should be part of an earthly kingdom from heaven, or that they should become part of an earthly kingdom from heaven. There were some that he ran into, I shouldn't say ran into, but that he identified in Corinth that had been part of Israel's believing remnant, and he recommended that they stay that. If God called them into Israel, they should stay as part of Israel under the covenants. And the ones that heard Paul's gospel and believed that should stay there. That's 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 24. But Paul is informing all that be in Rome of how Israel failed God. So they lacked faith, the word of faith. So Paul said to them, he said what was still lacking, and he said it in Romans 10, verse 10, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, not confession alone, but on top of all those things, they keeping the covenant and the commandments and everything, they should have had the faith. And they should have, Israel had to do works as well as faith, remember? So they not only had to believe it, they had to confess it. They were the ones called on to confess Jesus as Lord and to call on his name. We're not told that. Paul never said for us to get saved that way. We're getting saved by believing something. Instead of believing I can make it on my own, I'm believing that I need Christ to have died for my sins, which he did, and I believe he did. Israel's word of faith, confession that Jesus was their resurrected Messiah, their Lord, it was still what was lacking for Israel. And the key phrase there is unto salvation. That was a future hope of whomever Paul was referring to there. And it was Israel that had to work, confess, and believe. And they failed in that believe part. They needed faith plus works of faith. And confession was a work of faith. It was something that they had to do, but didn't. And it was Israel's believing unto salvation that was ready to be revealed in the last time. Our salvation isn't revealed in the last time. It's upon belief. We're looking still at Israel. They had to endure to the end for salvation at the end. Look in 1 Peter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter 1, 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith, they had to keep their faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Their salvation was going to be revealed at the last time. In the last time. So it was not given them as we're accustomed to hearing now. For us, when we believe, we are saved. It says so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But for them, their salvation was to come at the return of Christ. Israel's Day of Atonement, when Christ returns and brings the kingdom from heaven. So it's different for us believers in Paul's gospel of Christ today. Our salvation occurs at the time we believe. To verify that or to show that, let's look at some verses. Starting with Acts chapter 13, verse 39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. There you can see both plans right in front of you in one verse. One that works and one that didn't work. Had to be replaced. Didn't work for all things. There were some things that you could not be justified by the law of Moses, it says. And that's present tense. Are justified. By him all that believe are justified. Not are waiting to be justified. By the law of Moses, no one could be justified from future sins. But Paul preached that through this man, all that believe are justified from all things. Past things, present things, future things, things you remember, things you don't remember. All is all. Well, let's go on. Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We've now received the atonement. It's a current thing. It's a immediate thing upon belief. In the middle of the salvation package from Paul about the gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, Paul says, by which also you are saved. Are saved. It does not say you're waiting to be saved. You are not waiting for Christ to bring that salvation at his return, as Peter said to Israel ready to be revealed in the last time. On Israel's feast day of Pentecost weeks, Peter preached that they were right then in the last days, that the tribulation was upon them, leading to the kingdom of kingdom of heaven. And the foreshadowing of the tribulation was, it actually was upon them. Inspired of God, he wrote, he preached anyway, and it was written about him in Luke, that would be Luke writing it. So we can't say some parts of the scripture aren't the way I like it. We'll say that's not inspired. No. We accept the words on the page as the authority of God. The foreshadowing of that tribulation actually was upon them at that time, and would have come if they had all received their king and their kingdom, which he was offering at that time. But Peter, standing up with the 11, this is verse 14, lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, you men of... not men of the world, not men of the United States, men of Judea. That's who it's to. He's stating this to the men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem. Be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That's what it is. It is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days. So this was the last days of something, not the first days, not the start of something, not the beginning of the body of Christ. This was the last days of Israel before their fall. The last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So still talking about prophecy here, not the mystery yet in Acts 2. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. Verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you see the context there? Talking about during that tribulation time, that great tribulation. At that time, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not a blanket statement for everybody, all times, you know, all dispensings of God. Acts 2:22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs. Is that what they were for? They were for Israel, to show that Jesus was a man approved of God, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, have you taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So it was in God's plan, his counsel, and his foreknowledge that Christ would go to the cross, but he was taken by wicked hands and crucified. So God had a plan. He used, just like he used Satan. Satan didn't know he was hurting himself by crucifying the Lord. He wouldn't have done it. 1 Corinthians 2:8, if he had known. Acts 2:24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Israel could have accepted God's offer to send the kingdom at that time. But 1 year later, Israel committed their unforgivable sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost, crying out against the words the Holy Ghost was speaking through Stephen, and stoning Holy Ghost-filled Stephen. Just like if Israel had received their kingdom, then John the Baptist would have been Israel's Elias, which was for to come. So also, the Acts 2 Pentecost would have started Israel's last days tribulation if all Israel, or at least the majority in leadership, had believed, had faith, and received their Messiah and the kingdom that he was bringing. Look at the other side of it. We've looked at how those believing Israel's gospel have to wait until Christ returns to blot out their sins, Acts 3:19. Look at Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. You are saved. Keep those in memory. Don't think that some other time later when you sin that those words are a lie to you now, that you're not saved anymore. No, you're saved from God's wrath. You're saved from it. Once saved, saved. Those three words, you can't deny them. It's in God's word. Believers today are now saved. They're saved right now, not just waiting to be saved. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which is a familiar passage. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved. It's by grace you're saved. You are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So confessing the name of Jesus as Lord and calling on the name of the Lord, that was what Israel was called on to do, in addition to keeping the law. It's not something that Gentiles or the body of Christ was called on to do. The name of the Lord was important for Israel. It verified to them the identity of God. And yet they denied that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, even as he was standing right there in front of them. They needed to call on the name of the Lord. They needed to believe Jesus Christ standing in front of them and call on him as their Savior, as their King. They did need a Savior. They needed a King and a Savior. According to Paul, in Romans chapter 1 and 2, especially chapter 2, Jews were sinners, just like the Gentiles, including us. They were sinners like the rest of the world, as proved by the Mosaic Law. They were God's people, yes. They were his chosen people. But they were given the law to show that they could not keep the law. They did not have the righteousness of God. They needed to believe God, exercise faith that God wanted. They needed to believe in his sacrifice, Jesus Christ, his substitutionary sacrifice, taking their place. Pardon me. But they failed to believe. They lacked the faith. Confessing and calling. Let's look at Joel 2:32 for a minute here. Excuse me just a moment. Joel 2:32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. All future, isn't it? Shall. That's in Joel's prophecy of the tribulation time, the last days, which Peter had claimed was starting until it was aborted by Israel's rejection of their Messiah and the Holy Ghost. But we'll get into that in a minute. Let's look earlier in Jesus' ministry. Look at John 12:42, before Pentecost. That would be before Pentecost. That would when Peter preached what we just read was Joel's prophecy. This is going to be before that in John 12. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, and let me read that again. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? But that's not good. Because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. There's that confession. They did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They made their choice, in other words. Confession was necessary for them, for Israel. Let's look at Acts 2:21, Peter's sermon on Pentecost there. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter was repeating the prophecy that we read earlier from Joel. In Romans 10:13, Paul repeated that same prophecy about Israel's future as he was showing Israel's failure, showing to all that be in Rome, Israel's failure to have faith to call on the name of the Lord. Well, let's look later in Acts. Look at Acts 22:16. Now, this is about, actually, the time of Acts 9. Paul is reporting back. Ananias was saying this, not Paul. This was Ananias speaking in Acts 22:16, and it's prior to Paul's teaching ministry. It was said at Paul's conversion, which is in Acts 9. But here, Paul is reporting back, and he says in Acts 22:16, Ananias says, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized." So, arise, and comma, and be baptized, comma, and. That word "and" connects an additional thing. "And" is in two, and two are four. "And" means in addition to, in this case. So, in addition to rising, be baptized. In addition to being baptized, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins. No, there's a comma, but there's no "and." Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, that doesn't work for us. That was all before the dispensation of the gospel, or the dispensation of the grace of God. That was at the conversion of Paul, before any of that revelation was given to us. Israel needed to wash their sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. So Ananias, from what he knew to speak in Israel's program, they needed to call on the name of the Lord to wash away sins. We know that's not what Paul preached later, nor is it the gospel that was revealed unto Paul, committed to him to dispense to us. But that was Israel's program before Paul's commissioning. So that's what I've got for us for tonight.